Hey, thanks for listening to this Joy podcast. If you like what we do and you listen to our podcast on a regular basis, it's time to put your money where your ears are. It's Radiothon. Go to joy.org.au, become a member or donate and keep us out loud and proud so we can make more of the stuff you like.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy live from Etihad Stadium, where the Saints and Swans are going head-to-head for the annual AFL Pride Match. You're on Joy 94.9, sponsored by the AFL.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. We are live at Etihad Stadium this evening. I'm Fiona, with me is Bree, and we have two very special guests with us tonight. We're having a great night here. We have Charles Beaton, President, CEO, empire builder of gay, that's okay. And we have Michelle Redfern, who is on the board of the Williamstown Football Club. Welcome, both of you, to the AFL Pride.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And you're both wearing your Pride colours.
Yeah, very much. All rainbowed up.
Loud and proud. Well, as I heard during the week, it's gay Christmas.
It's gay. Footy, so. We call it the LGBTI AFL Christmas. So it's good to get the family together tonight.
Absolutely.
Now, both of you have coordinated and set up Pride games at your local football club. Michelle, you're at Williamstown, and Charles, you've done that down at Hamilton. I have seen so much about how these Pride games have shifted attitudes in the community, but what effect has it had on your clubs as you've done these games?
Yeah, I think for Hamilton, it's had a huge impact on them in an area where it's relatively conservative, where being out and having issues with your sexuality and gender would never have been talked about at the kitchen table, let alone on the front page of the Hamilton Spectator. So last year we saw a lot of stories of people actually coming out and telling their story about, you know, how it's okay. It was actually okay for them once they came out, and the support they had for their family. So for Hamilton, it's changed a lot because people are now educated that, you know, it could be their friend or their brother or their sister that's going through issues with their sexuality or gender, and we just need to be there for them.
Yeah, it was funny. I remember last year you coordinated that with Annie Nolan, wife of Liam Picken at the Bulldogs. And, you know, you both grew up in the town, so you experienced some homophobia growing up. And she said that as a result, she believes, of the Pride game, that Hamilton had a higher yes vote than her inner city electorate.
Yep.
Which, you know, you would assume would be unheard of before something like this had happened.
Absolutely.
So it is amazing how it does shift attitudes. Have you found that too, Michelle, down at
Charles and I were just talking about it before we came on, and I think it's early days. We had our first Pride match only 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
So you changed the whole town.
Oh, totally. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, world domination's next. But, so we haven't seen the results yet. However, I can say, you know, it's a year of first for Williamstown, first women's team in 155 years.
Wow. Is there a female coach as well?
Yes. And, Amy Catterall is our head coach, so we are taking on the 155 years of tradition, male tradition, and then to throw in a Pride match, which I've got to say, people are giving me a lot of credit for, but I kind of jumped on the bandwagon because our CEO Jason Redick, who is, as he calls himself, a middle-aged white straight guy, he gets it. You know, he gets what it means to be inclusive, which is one of our values, and he said, you know, so that means we've got to appeal to everyone in our community. So people from all walks of life, women, LGBTIQ plus people, culturally diverse people, and this is just, you know, this is the first step. So that's a long way of saying a little bit early to tell, but even the conversations around the week of the Pride game were, oh, okay, so right, yes. And the boys, our men's squad, because we had it as a standalone female game, they went, hang on a minute, we want in on this. So next year it'll be a double header, it'll be a male and a female game, and we've already got people lining up, you know, councillors and whatever, you go, excuse me, we want to be on board. So, you know, I think those are the early signals that there's some attention, and I think where there's attention, there's opportunity. You know, I always say where there's volume, there's voice, where there's voice, there's change.
Now, Charles and Michelle, so how do you think tonight's game, like AFL Pride, we're now the third year in AFL Pride game, how do you think tonight's game is making a difference to creating a more accepting society?
I think it can make a huge difference in the AFL world because, I mean, having gone to the football a lot over the years myself, it's not a great place to go for those who are struggling, whether it's with your sexuality or your gender or other issues, is homophobia has been rampant. It still is, wouldn't say rampant, but depending where you're sitting in the ground. So, you know, it's talking about these stories and getting these real stories out because people react to real stories. So they'll react to the story of my brother who struggled with his sexuality and considered ending his life because he hated the person that he was. They will react to those stories and they'll be able to relate to those stories. So these Pride games make a huge difference from that perspective. And people look up to our footballers, let's be honest. So if ever there's going to be some role models that people will look up to and maybe consider changing their behaviour, I think AFL is where it's at.
Well, I mean, in reality, inclusion is a thing that's not just about our community. It's about gender inclusion, inclusion around race and Indigenous. It's the same theme, really, you know, around all of it. Mm. So when we can educate people about, you know, inclusion, it really does mean not just us.
Yeah.
Oh, and look, Charles is absolutely right. And the day of our Pride lunch, we had Wade Noonan, who's our local MP. And I said when I was talking to the crowd, I said, look, I'm awfully sorry, Wade. As much as we love you and revere you and you're our number one ticket holder, I've got to tell you that the wider community takes more notice of our footballing and sporting heroes than they do of politicians. So sport is a great social equaliser. But in line with what Charles has said, you know, there are very few games that I front up to on my own. Certainly where Rhonda, my wife, and I would come and sit in the gay bay, you know, this is awesome because we're going, hey, it's our night. But, you know, footy hasn't been welcoming necessarily for anyone who's a bit different from that archetypal, very testosterone-driven middle-aged white dude, with all the greatest respect to middle-aged white dudes. So, you know, this is social change. We're seeing it unfold in front of our eyes. And look, every great social change or civil rights movement in the world has had a catalyst and then continuing effort. So this has got to be continuing. It's not a once and done.
Now, Charles, last year we had obviously the Hamilton Pride and Inclusion Day, which was a success. What have been some of the changes that you've noticed or some of the positive stories that have come out of that?
I mean, there was lots of positive stories that came out of that day. I think a couple of weeks after our game, we had a transgender woman come out to, or teen come out to her dad, who'd been struggling for, you know, basically her entire life, and her dad just did not know what was wrong. And he read the stories about our game and other people who had come out, and he worked up the courage to ask whether, you know, she was okay, and she came out as a transgender woman. Like, that's huge. You know, the chances now of May having a happy and you know, fulfilling life are huge compared to what they were a year ago when she wouldn't get out of her room, didn't go to school, hated everything about herself. So, I mean, there's one massive thing. And I think, you know, as Fee said before, the fact that Hamilton as a region had a 70% yes vote, which is higher than a lot of Melbourne areas, is huge. Where, you know, the local MP was not supportive for the rest of the electorate to come out and support like that is massive. So, you know, those sort of things are making a big difference.
Now, obviously, the second one's, we're back again with Hamilton Pride and Inclusion Day, and it's coming up. What can we, on the 23rd of June, what can we expect from the day?
Yeah, look, it's bigger and better. It's looking massive. We've got another huge lunch, which is headlined by Daniel Kowalski, you know, gold medalist swimmer. So the local LGBTI group wanted to get someone of his ilk to come down and talk, and someone to be just a huge positive role model. So I think that's just going to be sensational to listen to him and his battles throughout his career. And we've got Russell Green talking again, which will be amazing. Darabin are playing Melbourne Uni in the women's football as the centrepiece this year. So
two top clubs.
There's another, you know, another thing that's come out of here is the Hamilton Footy Club has gone, okay, the women's is the number one game here.
Wow.
Let's put them on second because that's what people are coming here to watch. So that's huge.
Men on as the curtain raiser.
Men are the curtain raiser. So that has changed in the space of a year. So how's, you know, the young women footballers in Hamilton are now going, well, they're actually, this is real. They're taking us seriously.
Now, speaking of which, it seems that in when it comes to inclusion, women lead the way. Why do you think that is the case?
I think...
Other than us being awesome.
Well, of course we are. That's just, that doesn't need to be said. I think that in a lot of cases, the communities that are excluded, often the burden of inclusion is placed on them. So women are and LGBTI people, you know, activist movements are led by the people who have been excluded. So we step in and go, well, bugger this. I'm not going to, you know, put up with being excluded for the rest of my life. And, you know, there are always movers and shakers in every community. So it's like, that's why we step in and say, righto, time to get stuff done. So that's kind of a trite answer in the time that we've got, but... I think it's the all of us who say, I don't want to be excluded.
Yeah.
Let's do something about it.
That's right. So the lesson for everyone is listen to the women.
Absolutely. You've got to, don't you?
Yeah.
Charles, I do at home.
You're outnumbered.
Yeah, I've got to now, otherwise I'm in trouble.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the AFL Pride game. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks
Enjoy
for
the
having
Gay
us.
Bay.
Yeah, thank you, Joy FM, for everything you do.
Yeah,
thank
awesome,
you.
Amazing.
Thank you. And we'll be back in a moment with some very special guests on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.